She wants you to go after the life you want, and he wants you to press the damn button. They're both business-minded creatives who travel the globe speaking to live audiences about how to get digital attention. Now they're teaming up to bring you into the experience. Welcome to Just Try This with Brian Fanzo and Amy Landino.
What's up, Amy? How are you? Amy, you there? Hello? Oh, what's up, everybody? This is Brian Fanzo, your co-host of the Just Try This podcast. And we're going to change it up a little bit this episode. We hit episode 11, kind of celebratory episode 11. We crossed the threshold of our first 10 episodes. And as you guys know, one of the things we're working really hard on with this show is to record all the episodes in person so that Amy and I can bring you on the couch with us. And interestingly enough, we had one that I actually interviewed Amy on my show, on my podcast a while back, actually at her book release party. And what we did is we talked a little bit about releasing her book, a little bit about our history, but we also talked about vlogging like a boss and where video fits in. And the theme of that episode was about having no fear and how fear plays a factor in us telling our story, in us using video, oftentimes in us, you know, launching on something like YouTube. For me, fear in launching my book. I still don't have a book. And it'll be interesting as you guys listen to this, because it was actually recorded January 31st, 2017. So it was a little about 2 years ago, but the information in this episode is gold. I interview Amy about her fear of launching her channel. I interview her about her fear of changing and kind of pivoting her brand and things that she did kind of along the way. And I really think this is an episode, give you guys a little bit even deeper context into why Amy and I connected to do this show. But also, I think it's going to probably identify some fears that you guys might have. I know for me, one of the fears I have with launching this book, which might be ironic to some because I create, you know, I host three podcasts and I do video every week and I blog on my site and I'm a full-time speaker, is, you know, for me, the fear of my legacy and the fear of my book being very final. And Amy gives some very interesting thoughts on how do we get over our fear? How does she handle fear? And even what role can we have fear playing in what we're doing? And so this is a really fun episode. I was with Amy in person at her place there in Columbus, Ohio, on the day of her book release. And I decided to do this interview in person. And just so you guys know, I only do four interviews on this other podcast. It's mostly a solo podcast. So this was like a really special episode of Amy and I sitting down and just getting real and raw and kind of talking. You know, it's definitely more me interviewing her than maybe what you guys are used to here on Just Try This. But I really think it's going to give you guys an interesting take and really going to be blown away and impressed, maybe even more than you have already, about the amazing Amy Landino. So without further ado, I give you guys Having No Fear, The Role Fear Is Playing, my interview with Amy Landino from January 2017.
As someone that's been trying and thinking about releasing a book as well as diving into live video, our worlds, you know, overlap and we're able to share. You know, we have a kind of a mastermind just between us and some people that are out there. And, you know, I was never a video person. I think I was shy to video, and YouTube intimidated the hell out of me because I just saw it as so many moving parts and tagging and SEOing and all of this stuff in the channel. And I remember finding your podcast, doing what everybody that does when they find your YouTube channel is you just all of a sudden 4 or 5 hours disappear and you realize you're stuck watching your pieces. So give us a little bit of background. Video, how did you first get into it? And then why are you focusing kind of on both sides of the fence? Because the title of the new book is Vlog Like a Boss, but it's also about getting people over that fear, which, you know, I would say you have a lot of credit to do with me getting over that fear and then live video kind of taking off for me. So give us that little background.
So the first video I ever made was absolutely one that had nothing to do with me. I had zero desire to be on video. It was just me trying to do something special for someone, and I came up with this idea. I found I had a camera. This was back in 2007. I noticed that my camera had like a little video option on it, so I used it. And it was basically just me having an opportunity to make something special for someone. I made it for her. I played it at the rehearsal dinner, and this powerful moment happened where I made the bride a video, but everyone in the room was affected by it. And I just noticed that. And I thought, how can you make something for one person and affect so many? And I just thought there was something to that. And that's something that made me make the jump into video at that point in time, but has now been such an underlying reason why I'm still here. Because when you make something for one person, you can help so many people. And that's what I've been trying to do with everything in my career and in my life. So that's how it all started. That had nothing to do with me. It had to do with someone else. But what I found was I needed to make content. In order to make content, I had to get in front of the camera. I started YouTubing, not because I thought it was going to take off or anything. It just so happened to be the best platform to upload a video to and share with a link in 2008, 2009, 2010. And I was life casting. What we know today as the typical vlog is what I was doing then. And businesses were asking me, okay, that's really cool that you make video, but you just seem to have an overall understanding of the internet and everyone's telling us we need a Facebook page. That's how I entered into the social media marketing area. I started the side hustle, what they call it today is a side hustle. And then I launched the business. When I launched the business full time, that's when I knew I needed a dedicated platform to talk about social media and marketing, because my life casting vlog had acquired a completely different audience. It was serving a different purpose. And so Savvy Sexy Social launched in 2011 and sort of went into that. A lot of people come to me for social media advice, but they find me through video. And so video ends up becoming this big part of the conversation. It has continued to be, because year over year over year, it's the year of video. Like every year, Brian, every year we keep doing this, it continues to be the year of video, which is great for us because everybody wants to talk to us. But it's like, okay, it's been the year of video since like 2012, guys. Like just get on board at this point. But so that's a point to me that there is that fear, that there's always going to be that fear. It's not as simple as just getting on camera and talking, because there are so many things that somebody has to deal with on their own side to say, okay, this is acceptable for me to do. And they might be weighing a lot of different opinions or ideas or fears into that decision-making process. So it was really important to me that, as easy as it's been for me to say 4 years, just make video, that I had to go through my own process of overcoming my fears to make it happen. And I wanted to address that in the book as well, because even though I want to give you all the practicality and steps to go do this, I understand that there are things personally that you have to deal with first. So fear was a big part of addressing video in this book. And it's a big part of what I do today, because I get the question frequently. There's always somebody in the audience that stands up during Q&A and they're like, I'm not funny. I'm not good looking. I wear a tie. How am I going to make video? And I'm like, you're putting on a show for everyone here, but you can't do it for a camera. Clearly you can, if you wanted to. When you want to share your message and you find that it's important enough to, you find a way. And that's why you should make video.
No, and I love that, because you integrated in that idea where, you know, I like to say, you know, it's about finding the place that's best for you to tell your story and kind of embracing it. And I remember, you know, the idea of vlogging and lifestyle vlogging, when people started talking about Casey Neistat, I always mentioned, like, I've been watching Amy do that before Casey ever, I ever even knew who Casey was. Like, he was a guy that it created an app, and I knew you doing that style and that kind of approach way before that even came about. But I'm curious, what was your biggest fear? Maybe not just when you started, but you've pivoted a couple times as a YouTuber, as a video creator. I think pivoting when you have a strong brand and a strong message and something that's working is extremely scary. You've done extremely successful. What's been your secret there? And then what was your fear kind of across, you know, maybe underlying?
So I appreciate you saying that. I hope it has been successful, but I just believe that a couple of things. There's a couple things you pointed out that are really important here. So if at a moment of pivot, when you have a strong brand and a strong following, that is very scary. It is, because people are watching. And so you have to make this conscious decision. But that's what makes it even more important, because what happens is you now actually have people who will give you feedback. That's scary. But what that actually means is it's data. Because if I do something, I'm going to find out very quickly whether or not it works or if it doesn't work. And so that's why it's scary, but that's why it's powerful. And also, when you're making video, you have to keep people guessing on some level. So you have to serve the purpose that you said and you promised, but you also have to keep them guessing, because if they get bored and it's the same thing all the time, all the time, and I would even argue that maybe I did that for a little bit too long on my channel, then they're just going to kind of fade. They're going to fade and they're going to find other things. And that's exactly where we are today. If you're not pivoting, it doesn't matter what size you are, but if you're not pivoting, then you're not going to survive. And I think we even see this with social networks and whether or not they're going to survive, because if the user gets bored and their attention goes someplace else, then you've lost them. And I don't want to lose my viewer. I want to continue to enhance the experience for them. My promise at the very beginning was, I'm going to teach you something in every single video. You will learn something whenever you watch something that I create, but it's not going to be a chore for you, because the people that I was talking to at the time about social media and marketing wanted to blow their brains out because they had to start a Facebook page for their small business. And that's just not something they cared about. And that's reasonable, because they cared about making coffee or printing a magazine or whatever the product was. So you have to understand that I'm going to teach you something, but let's have fun while we're doing it. So that's been my promise since the beginning, but that doesn't mean that my format has to stay the same, that my ideals have to stay the same, that my opinions have to stay the same. All these things can pivot and change, because I pivot it and change. This channel is 5 years old, and that's a long time for a business to be operating, and things change and things grow. So that was the fear, I think, in the times that I've pivoted with a following sort of there.
Now, hold on, before you go on that, I think that's so important, because for our listeners, you made a promise, and I can tell you there's an ability to deliver on that promise, be consistent as hell, but also make it what you said, the way that it's consumed. You want you listen to your audience and provide it in a way that's how they want to consume it, not as how Amy always wants to deliver it. And I think your ability to add humor, sometimes self-deprecating and sometimes, you know, kind of as a whole into the industry, has been the secret sauce. Like, it's a matter of how you not only relate, and it's, you know, I'm seeing here in the live audience people saying how good you are across multiple platforms and multiple social networks. And I think for the listeners, that is the most essential piece, is that you listen, you make a promise, you deliver. And I love that. And I think on video, sometimes I think a lot of people forget that element of video, because they would never do that in business or on stage, but they forget on video. So I wanted to jump in, because I think that is essential.
It is. And so you just have to, that's the next kind of fear that ends up happening from there, because it's the fear of doing it. And then it's the fear of getting the feedback you know you're going to get immediately. Like, we switched cameras at the very beginning of the campaign we're doing this month, where we're sharing a video every single day of the journey of publishing a book. And I knew the day we switched to a camera I advocate for, I was abandoning, I was printing it in my book that everyone should go buy it. I still love the camera, but for the new purpose, it was just not working. And I knew the next day we were going to get all kinds of camera experts coming out of the woodwork telling me what I was doing wrong with the new camera and how I could color code differently. And you know, you just have to accept that when you know that going in, you're more prepared. And the cool thing is that these people are telling you this because they care. They're here, they're providing the feedback because they've been here or they're new. It doesn't matter. They care enough. They're taking time out of their day to comment. Blows my mind. And so that's something you have to keep in mind. Don't be afraid of it. Just know it's going to happen and say, like, wow, they care that much to write this much stuff. So those are sort of like the first world problem fears, right? Because, oh, wow, I have so many people watching. So fine.
Yeah.
But what are the fears getting started? I had the same ones that everyone else did. And, you know, I didn't have a place to sit and set up my camera and talk to a camera. At the time, it was all about making a video that was my life. In order to do that, you have to talk to a camera in public.
Right.
That's what rocked people. In 2009 and 2010, people will watch you on YouTube if you're just walking around in public talking to a camera, because at that point in time, it was like unbelievable. And now we see it all the time, and we see people with their selfie sticks, and it's so exciting that this is just like accept it. But I had to kind of cross over that fear that if my message is important enough and I'm in a moment that I need to capture, that I'm going to have a weird moment with the people around me, that they're going to be like, oh, did you need me to take a photo of you or something? And I'm like, no, I got it. You know, I'm just talking to my camera. There's going to be that. everyone's going to have that thought of what will they think of me?
Right.
They're not even thinking about their prospective audience. They're not even thinking about the people they're serving. They're thinking about the people that might not get it. And there will be people in your life that just don't get it. And that's a big fear to overcome, and everyone needs to.
Oh, I love that. That like plays into so many of my episodes recently on this show. Because yeah. That is, you know, that is an element. Now, I think one of the other things, and I think we've understand the power of it, but part of it is, yes, you're talking to the camera yourself, but a lot of people believe someone as successful as you on your channel, that you've must have been, you've had a team this entire time, you've outsourced your editing, everybody else, and the only way you can get into this is when you have a plan to grow big. And I like to think so much of the success along the way is, yes, you want to scale. Yes, you want to have increased production. But you know, I've worked with some of the largest Fortune 500 brands in the world, doing so much of it myself, and understanding that the quality and the content and your ability to deliver it is really up to you and how you kind of situate that. How do you look at the people that look at fear and say, "I would love to get into this, but I'm afraid I don't ever have the money, the resources, maybe even the time to bring in a whole team and be production. So I don't think I'll ever be able to monetize it, or I don't ever think it'll ever add value to my business." How do you handle that kind of question?
So there's a lot of levels of this for me. First of all, if it's an ROI problem, then you're not thinking about it like a math problem. And that's what ROI is. So if you're going to hire a team at some point, and because of that, you don't think it's going to be monetizable, then there's a fundamental issue with that. Then it's something you didn't even plan to make money with in the first place. So there's that. I mean, you just have to think like it's a math problem if it is a math problem. But the bigger issue for me has been overcoming the fear of level of prestige, where everyone in this industry is telling us that it isn't cool to do your own editing. It isn't cool to do your own copywriting. You're not supposed to do that. Somebody else is supposed to do that. Your time is worth more. You're absolutely right. But in the same breath, you're going to tell me to do what I love and get paid for it. Then if that's true, stop telling me it's not cool for me to edit my own videos, because it is the one creative outlet that I have. And it is the place that I am happy. And I don't want someone else to edit my comedic timing, because I'm the only one that knows what it is. And if I'm the only person that thinks it's funny, then I don't want somebody else to scrap it. I think you have to remember that if you are not good at anything to do with video, then you may need help. And so how can you make that work? How can you make it? How can you provide value to someone that's not a paycheck if it needs to be that way? I don't recommend that, because that's tough to go to someone and say, "I can't pay you," but people do it all the time. So if you can figure it out, then do it. People come to me all the time and don't say they can't pay me. Yeah. And I go to people all the time and I'm like, "I would love that, but I think you deserve to make money." And I want people to know that immediately. I want them to know that. And if you know that, then how can we work this through where we can get to a point where I know it's worth money, and maybe you think I have something going on that's worth money, then maybe we can trade. Or if it's worth money and it's just something I need, I'm going to pay for it. I'm weird place tangent about the business world and how many people are telling us to go out and raise our price, but will also ask us to do something for free all the time. I'm kind of sick of that. I think the internet needs to get over that. And you don't look cool by advising people to raise their price and then not wanting to pay for their services. I don't like it. So that's why I have a hard time going to someone and saying, "I find this to be so valuable, I think you should give it to me for free." So that's tough. Long story short, but
no, I think I love that, and I think that's so important for the listeners, and even in the sense of what you're doing with the book, I'm excited to be heading out to visit you guys for when the book comes out, and part of me, you know, for the listeners that are out there, and you know, it's funny, we're doing a live video interview that is then pumped into audio into a podcaster's ears for listeners. Then we'll also be live face to face, where we'll be doing Snapchatting and all that stuff later in the month. And you're writing a book about video. And I think this idea of educating people on something new, you have to go to where they're actually going to consume it to get them there. And I think writing a book about video that not only says how to make it like a boss, but also how to get over those entry level fears, I think is genius. I think that's the way more people have to think about all kinds of content. What was your thought process in the book? I'd like to hear a little bit more on, you know, when did the, hey, I'm just going to own it. I'm going to do it. And then what's kind of been the response from the early, you know, pre-readers that you've kind of seeded it out there to?
So if you know me, you know, Practical is just my middle name. If you go into a video, you're going to learn something every single time. So I wanted that to be true of my first book. I just didn't see how else I could have put out a book. I've got motivation for days, but I also am in, I'm in the trenches, I guess, is the framing that we're using here. And so I want that to be evident. And I want to be able to tell you how to do something. I want someone to pick up the book and say, you can do this. Here's how. Go freaking do it. Stop wasting time. So that was my biggest focus, was letting people know how I got here and why it was important to me and why I'm sharing this message, but even more importantly, how you can do it. So it's very, very technical, lots of advice in there. And quite frankly, the book's probably going to be expired in a couple of months because of how fast this industry changes, but that's okay. Because the basics of it are very true. Setting up your strategy and doing something because it matters, and why and who is it for, and then how do you design your programming accordingly? So all of that's in there. The early readers are coming back with exactly what I thought they would say. Because if you have immersed yourself in any video experience with me, you get a lot of information, but it is very valuable for getting stuff done. And that has been the response for the book so far. And the testimonials I've had have been incredible. Yours included is being printed in the book. So it's just been phenomenal for me to continue to get that feedback, to know that I was on the right track, to know that I, forgive the pun, closed this chapter, if we're calling it that, correctly. Because if I'm going to have a second book, then it's kind of time now to start discovering what that book would be about. But I've written the book on video now, and something that I've worked so hard on for all, I'm going to have my 10-year YouTube anniversary, I think the end of this month. And it's kind of cool to kind of cap all of that off with something mom can put on the shelf and be proud of.
No, I'm super excited for you on that side. And I'll tell you, for me, as a fan of yours and someone that even was a fan before we ever first met at Social Media Marketing World a couple of years ago, and the friendship, you know, I think for me, I first learned what you talked about, what you delivered, the social media advice, the what. Then I started to understand, you know, the why it mattered to you and your personality. And then ultimately the how, in the sense where, as great as you are on video, as great as you are, I believe, in that vlogging space, I think you're even more talented in the ability to create it to be fun, actionable, and you deliver your promise. But you also kind of, your editing is sheer genius because it's you, right? And I think you get yourself, you understand how to do certain things. And I think that's something for a lot of people that, as I think when they dive into your book and they get over the fear, I think you walk through some of these basics, but also some of these things that said, hey, this was my mindset. This is how I was thinking about it. And this is why I do it. Because if you look at your channel, there's so much consistency. There's so much fun. When you hear people out there that are looking at it from a business perspective, how do you tell them that it still should be fun? Like, it's still, you do that so well, but I feel like, let's face it, so many video blogs that are out there on YouTube are just not fun. And at the end of the day, I want to learn, but I also do want to be entertained.
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of the issue there is that when someone goes into a video to make it and they don't keep context in mind, then it's all about them. It's all about what their thing is. It's all about their product. It's all about their message. It's very important to be clear on that message, but you also need to know what party you're going to. So I've been kind of trying to explain this when people ask me the question about, oh, YouTube's dying, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all these different things. They're all roughly the same, but they're very just different types of parties. And that's what I would say. If someone is not fun on one of these, then they're simply not observing what the context and what the cadence of that place is and how people like to receive information there in order to customize it accordingly. I knew how to have fun on YouTube because that's how I started. I fortunately had a little bit of experience in the area. I wanted to take that same cadence and put it into business and marketing information. And so I did that with Savvy Sexy Social. But that took a lot of watching and reviewing and knowing the environment that is YouTube, the home of cat videos. I mean, you just have to come to terms with it. That's what it is. So the same goes for Snapchat. It's like, what kind of party is YouTube? What's Snapchat? What's Instagram? What's Facebook? How do you go to these parties? you know, present yourself the way that you should. You're not going to wear the same thing to a cocktail party that you would to the Super Bowl party. So how do you change it up for those two things? Because that's when people are going to listen to your message. When you come to the party, like, you know, you've been there before, and then you're going to stand out based on how cool of an individual that you are. I think that's what people do wrong. And I know that that's sort of a pretty way of saying it. And it's very kind of complicated. And it's like, what does that actually mean in layman's terms? Do your freaking research. Don't just show up because somebody said, you know, Instagram Live is a thing now. Okay, great. Or here's the biggest mistake I think people made, trying to do the same thing on Instagram stories that was happening on Snapchat.
Yes.
It is not the same. And people actually go to Instagram and they slide and double tap and scroll and double tap. They are not listening. They are looking at pretty things. If you go on a rant on Snapchat and then you import that same rant to Instagram, or you just do it all over again, no one cares because it's the same view all the time. They're not interested. They want to see things that are pretty. That's what Instagram is. What is the kind of party? And then customize it accordingly. And I think that's how you make something more fun. It's respect of the environment.
And I love that, because not only it's respect of the environment and understanding the user behaviors. And I remember, actually, I can remember the day, the minute what happened, where I reached out to you and said, Amy, I need you on Periscope. You just need to be on live video. Yeah. And your answer as someone that I looked up to and was learning in the YouTube space, and you were like, I know I'm listening and learning, you know, and I don't want to deliver the exact same content. I also don't want to alienate my community that I have there. And I remember I was just like, but Amy, you're you. We want Amy on there. And I remember watching that very first one, and you were fun, and it was, you know, you were like, wait, the lighting's messed up, and you're turning as you're going. And it was one of those pieces for me that was, you listened and learned. Most people would have assumed, and let's face it, a lot of YouTubers jumped onto the Periscope live video bandwagon early on. And I would actually ask anybody to go find them still doing it, because they just did the exact same thing. And then they couldn't find why it wasn't valuable and why they all of a sudden dropped off. But I love that you brought that up, because I loved watching you. I can remember watching that first Periscope and that live video and being like, yes, this is what you're, because it's that story and it's that humanized side. And I'm curious, You're 17 days. I have your website up here, Vlog Like a Boss. It'll be in the show notes. 17 days, 11 hours, 5 minutes, and 56 seconds away from the launch. I'm excited because I get to hear a little bit from behind the scenes. But give us the Amy answer. Crazy, hectic, can't sleep. Let us know how are you feeling?
You know, if you ask Vincenzo, he knows I'm pretty on edge, like, a lot of the time. Like, I always feel like I'm on a deadline because I put myself on a deadline. There is no such thing as a to-do list. There is a calendar. And if it's on the calendar, it gets done. And so when there's actually literally probably the biggest deadline of my life thus far on the calendar in the next 17 days and some hours, then it's a little crazy. So, you know, just a minute ago, there was something wrong with the cover. And I was like, I'm freaking out because I also have to publish a video right this second. And he's trying to help me fix something on this computer. It's crazy. I don't think I'd have it any other way, but it's a crazy that I want to experience, but not too much crazy that I can manage everything else going on in the business. And I'm grateful. I'm very grateful because I think I would not be here right now if I didn't have people helping me, and I'd probably be crying in the corner.
So I tossed that question your way, kind of to set up we'll kind of wrap the bow on this part on was, the thing that blew me away when I got to learn the secret sauce of your YouTube was you are a creative genius in doing almost all of your recording in one day for multiple days of vlogs. Of course, you're doing a vlog right now for this month, which I'm actually loving. But you're someone that, you know, you've been very good at having a schedule, understanding a script, but never coming across scripted, never coming across like the content was scheduled or you were out of touch. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? Because I think that element is intertwined in your book, but for, you know, those that don't know, explain your video process over the years for how you create it, when you create it, because so many people are like, wait, she's on a podcast, she's speaking, but yet she released 3 videos this week. Give people a little into that side. Cause I think that was probably the biggest eye opening experience for me is of your creative genius.
Yeah. So when I told myself in the earlier years of Savvy Sexy Social, it was going to be a 3-day a week vlog, but that is very hard to do. I mean, like, if you think about all the moving parts in that, and I'm not paying anybody to help me, that's a lot of stuff, especially when you're running a business, which most of us are, if you're listening to this, I assume. But if if you're working in a business and you've got all this client work going on and everything that has to do with keeping the business afloat, in addition to making your clients happy, and you're going to make three videos a week, that's why the calendar became my Bible, because I had to sit down and decide, okay, what day is for my business? My business gets Monday. Everyone else, my clients, everybody else's podcasts, all that kind of stuff is the rest of the week. But Monday is mine. I don't want to wake up and report to anybody on Monday except for me. So that was the day that I said I was going to comb through as much administrative stuff. And then in the afternoon, when the sun was just right, I would sit down and I would film three videos that would go out that week. And I would get as much edited the rest of that day as I could. And if there was anything still left to do, I could do it in the early mornings the rest of the week. But for the most part, those three videos were done and scheduled out for a couple of years every Monday for the 3 days that week. And so that was huge for me, because so many people say they don't have time for something. And, you know, a lot of people are going to say, you don't have kids, you're not this, you're not that. You know, like, there's a lot of reasons why someone's still going to say I'm special, but I'm really not. And I remember teaching calendar blocking to Vlogboss University members, and they were like, oh my gosh, I thought you were going to be crazy because I have kids and they're different and everything's weird. And, or I have clients that cancel on me all the time. I never know what's going to happen. If you have a backup plan, if you have designed your calendar, and if you've prioritized everything the way it needs to get done, it will get done. Period.
Amen.
That's how I got the videos done. Period.
And I love that, because I think that's, for those that are trying to get over their fears, I mean, I think one of your greatest secrets was you were consistent as hell, not only in what you were doing from a creative perspective, consistent on how you did your branding. Even when you pivoted, it was a clear, you know, definition, including what you're doing this month with Vincenzo, which I'm going to put in the show notes. I implore you guys to check it out, especially live audience right now. Check it out on the release up to the day that the book comes out. It'll even be fun watching. I'm sure you'll be able to go back and kind of enjoy it more. You know, I love it. Went to Pittsburgh, of course, where both Vinny and I are from. I enjoyed, you know, him falling down on the ground multiple times from ice that he is walking on. And it, actually, I think this is the example. I always say eating your own dog food. And then someone on an interview that I was on earlier this week said it's actually drinking your own champagne, which sounds a lot more pleasant than...
oh my God, that's fantastic. Yeah, so I'm all about that.
I was like, okay, so drinking your own champagne. So I think you've done an amazing job of demonstrating multiple different types of content, multiple different ways to build your audience, and ultimately build your business through video. And thank you for teaching me. Thank you for kind of being, you know, one that allows us all to kind of learn with you and do it as well. And I'm going to learn from you on the book side. As you know, I've kind of been holding off on a lot of things as I will get to learn your best practices over this month. I'm excited to be out there at the end of the month. So give our audience, you know, if they're on the edge, maybe they think they either know a little bit about video or they're still scared. What's the, you know, give them something to take away or to think about. And then hopefully they'll go visit the website and check out the book at the end of the month.
Yeah. I think that if you are still hesitant, then right now it's time to focus on what the message is. What is it that you are presenting to the world? Because as soon as that becomes clear in your mind, who it's for and what it's really going to be and what your differentiator is. And that's a big one for a lot of people. There's so many people doing this. How am I going to be unique? Figure out what it is. Just, it doesn't matter if it's the only thing and you wish you could come up with better. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for everyone else, because you're going to own it like a boss and go vlog it. But until you know what that is, know why you're different and know who you're doing this for, your message won't be important enough to do anything with, much less vlog. So focus on that, because I promise you, as soon as you figure out what it is, you will be chomping at the bit to turn the camera on and start talking.
I love it. I love it. So for my listeners, they all know that my mantra is be yourself in 2017. And it's because I believe it's my friends, my circle, the people that I respect. They've done that better than everyone. And that's the reason they're for success. Amy, you set that up perfectly. Congratulations. I'm so excited for the book. I'm excited to be out there. I mean, my first visit to Columbus, as surprisingly as that is. So thank you for taking the time. Thank you, listeners. Make sure you guys check out tons of links in the show notes of this show, including for the book, the video, you know, the series, as well as the YouTube channel. And like I said, when you get to the channel, make sure you block off some time, because it will suck you in. You'll be entertained and you'll learn. Amy, congrats. I'm excited for you. Let's make it an awesome month. And I think you're going to kick off the year pretty damn awesome.
That's the plan.
Cheers.
Thanks Brian.
right, good deal.
What's up, you guys?
All right, so we're back for episode, or really, it's part two of episode 15.
Oh my gosh, 15?
15. And we recorded part one, which the audience on the podcast just listened to. And it was a lot of your excitement, as well as the vlog. So catch us up from this month. You did a daily vlog.
Can you believe it? I can't believe it.
That was a lot of work. A lot of work.
I was like, what could I do to make launch month of a book more complicated? How about edit a new video every single day for the channel? That's what I did.
And so what was your thoughts on that? I mean, I think for me, it gave an insight into you and Enzo that I don't think we'd seen on
your
channel before.
That's true, absolutely. You got to see a lot of engaged life, I suppose. Engaged life of launching a book.
Well, and
all the things.
And I think I wanted to bring that up on the, you know, for me, like looking at it from the outside in, studying from a video perspective as well as the book perspective, I think doing a book about video is already, you know, already a stretch. But I love the idea of using video to promote it, bring people along the journey. What's been some of the feedback from the people that are even on your channel that maybe hadn't seen that side of you, but then also got access probably to the chaotic book launch they never saw before?
Yeah. So what was really interesting is you have to do something. You have to make a promise for a community to follow you. Like, you're following Brian because you know what his promise is. You show up, you know he's going to deliver every time. I have to do that on my channel as well. That hasn't been so much of here's what my life is like. Although there are interesting things that you can learn from brand building and business if you were to check out my life, right? So that that was interesting that I just decided we're going to do a Lifecast vlog for this because it was completely different than much of what I've done. But the crazy thing is the feedback was so overwhelmingly positive, and I have the fortunate option of hearing from people and them giving me feedback. A lot of people post videos and don't get a ton of feedback because they're just growing.
Right.
I got the feedback and they said they want more of it. Please keep up the life, you know, inside behind the scenes side sort of vlog because we want that, which is really exciting. I don't know that I had planned on that being the thing, but again, I wrote a book because who am I to decide the medium? And if they like sort of seeing behind the scenes the vlog and my life and my business and how I do interviews and how I launched a book or how I launched something else, then I don't want to keep that from them as well, because show over tell is the way of video in 2017 and going forward. I think it has always been, but more than ever now, especially with the competition of Facebook video and being pulled in. So it's very interesting. The feedback was very positive. I don't think, I'm not a daily video blogger by any means. I believe in the importance of each individual message of a video and letting that message fly and really marketing something that you worked so hard on. But, I definitely could see continuing to keep it up and offer sort of a diverse viewpoint of how I can teach people something.
Because from my standpoint, I thought it showed off some different talents that you have, including awesome music video today.
Thank you.
That's in the show notes. I've already written the show notes for this. They're ready to go. And for the audience listening, we're an hour and a half from the launch book party, which I got to come out here to Columbus for, and I'm excited about. Yeah. So we had a great talk last night. You know, kind of your journey, what you've learned about the book, and the question I had saved up that I knew I wanted to ask you before.
Yeah.
If Amy got Vlog Like a Boss when you were starting YouTube, you had first started YouTube.
God,
what would be that? What was that? What would that one thing that you, if you could look back and say, if I only knew this, what would that thing be that you would really know that would have changed your way of kind of growing your channel?
I think, God, that's exactly why I wrote this book too. Is I really, really wish that I would have had something like this. I think from Jump Street, I wouldn't have had the fear of gear, which many people have, and that's the whole I can't get started until I have the right stuff. And what's everyone using that's professional or prestigious? I have to wait until I have that to get started. I would have probably gotten started sooner without that holding me back. Although in 2017, it's much more useful because we have these beautiful things called smartphones. When I started, we didn't have beautiful things called smartphones. They might have existed, but they did not have 1080p video the way they do today. So there's that. But I also think when you're just getting started, you get really hung up on vanity metrics big time. And I think I would have told myself, even though I think I knew at the time, but I didn't really know, because you don't really know until you know, that subscribers are not the end of the earth answer to all the things that are going to make your life better. Neither are views. It's truly
figuring out how to create your influence. And what does that mean? And how do you help people? And how can you directly tie your business into that so that you can build revenue model that gives you the life that you want? Because the number of subscribers and followers and all of those things doesn't actually equate to that life that you want.
I love it. That's the tips.
What I
love
the book
that.
On.
You're right. And I think that's, you know, like I say, press the damn button.
Yeah.
That's always my, you know, especially on live video, but in video in general, I think the more barriers you put with, you know, hey, the lighting has to be perfect, the gear has to be perfect, all of those just push you further away from pressing that button, right? And I think that's a powerful one. Now, the book's out today, and of course, it's in the show notes. Yes, and we have it here for the audience that's watching us do the live recording. And so something that Amy doesn't know yet, but that I'm going to share now, is that we're going to do a special giveaway. So I have 7 copies of Vlog Like a Boss.
What? You do?
I do. And I also have 7 copies of Ask Gary Vee. And so this is the challenge for our listening audience.
Look who's on the front. Listen.
And that's the tag. So Gary is the quote on the front of the book. And so I like to help people cure FOMO, not invoke FOMO. So here's the challenge. The challenge I'm putting out to the audience that's listening as well is that I want you to go buy the book, Vlog Like a Boss, today. You buy the book, and then I want you to tweet out or post on Instagram using hashtag Vlog Like a Boss and hashtag FOMO fans.
Ooh,
and also tag the one person that you want to cure their video FOMO with your book. And so the person that actually wins, you get the Ask Gary Vee book for yourself, and then your friend will get the Vlog Like a Boss book. Therefore, you already bought it, you share it, and then we'll solve someone else's FOMO. So
I love it.
7 people will win. We'll do it next Monday for my live recording. So all of that will be in the show notes. But I think, you know, I love what you're doing. I commend your, I know it's been it's a roller coaster as well as something that requires head down, a lot of work. I'm excited to celebrate tonight. We did a little bit of celebrating last night, but.
I wanted cheers to me so that we can cheers to those who are also planning to write a book.
Yes, yes. And I tell you what.
You know what I'm saying.
It's a nudge I needed on my side for sure. And I think this is.
We got to have your cheers.
We do.
We all deserve it.
I'm learning a lot from even that process. I think there's also, you know, your video aspect of sharing that on your blog as well. You know, it helps, you know, if you're listening here, and you'll have all the links down below, you guys will see. But the part of this also is, you know, the vlog behind the scenes, as well as like the music video, I think is genius. Even the story with how you combine with that, the artist, and there's lots of these things. So if you guys are listening to this, and maybe it's not even where you want to get into video, but you're still figuring out video, but book launch, how to build a community, the value of marketing, you know, Amy and I have kind of come from the same side, where the metrics don't matter to us. It's those people that are listening, that are supporting us, that share. I mean, if you're looking at the hashtag today, hashtag Vlog Like a Boss is blowing up. And it's all these people that are celebrating by buying your book to say thank you for all the work that you've done. And I think that's the true power. So give us last, any words of advice, anything that you want to share
as
we wrap it up?
I will just take it further than what you just said, it's not just about metrics, because it's about lives affected. And there's the only reason why anyone's buying this book today, or that he's sitting here talking to you about this, is in some way someone's life was affected by my message, by what I talk about, and now I've put it in a book, so it just makes it easier. And I think that's what we are measuring. If you can truly affect somebody, if you can make their life better in some way, whether it's entertainment or value with instructions or tutorials, it doesn't matter what your thing is, you're just out here to make the world a better place, go do that, because that's how we're building our empire. It doesn't matter how we've built it or what we've built it with, and there's not going to be a number that decides that empire exists. It's just not.
I love it. And I think the other piece on it, and I listened back to our first part one that people listened to here, and for the podcast, so for episode 15 will be the first intro that your fiance, Enzo, did my intro. So he does the whole intro for this episode. It'll premiere.
It's all in the family.
It'll premiere on this one. But I wanted to say, like, you have a great team around you, and I think that's an element that came through on the vlog.
Yes.
And it also came through on your Instagram story today, where you said we did it. And I have to say, that means a lot. I think you do a great job of celebrating the ones around you. Very good at strategically putting people around you that make you better as well. So congrats.
Thank you.
Super excited for you. Super excited. excited to get over here, and we're going to start to actually enjoy, celebrate here in Columbus, Ohio. But
time to party.
For those that are listening to the podcast, check out the show notes for the details on how you guys can win. Seven people are going to win a copy of Ask Gary V and being able to send Vlog Like a Boss to one of your friends. So to me, it's all about sharing, growing, helping each other out, hopefully curing some of those FOMO. So check it out. Check all the show notes. All of Amy's links in the notes below. Amy, you rock, my friend.
Thank you so much for being here and for having me here as well.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.